healing every single person in the building in one go. It's not hard for you at all. I'm praying for you to manifest yourself, to show your glory, to bring honor to the great name of Jesus, and to reveal to us a little more about how you want your people to live in health and wholeness. In Jesus' name. Help us understand your ways. Thank you, Lord. If everybody believed that, say, thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Fantastic. And if you're happy to keep playing, just turn it down a tiny bit, but that's great. We've got a few overheads. I'm going to walk you through a few things, and then we're going to minister to people to get them healed. Would that be a good idea? And we're going to approach this a little differently. I've been a Christian for 35 or so years, and I've been ordained officially by people for about nearly 24 years. And then I've been in the ministry then as a minister paid for 23 years. And so in that time, I've preached a lot, taught a lot, and we've seen a lot of people healed, hundreds of people healed. I'm absolutely convinced that getting people healed is not difficult because it's completely in God's nature. And I want to walk you through a couple of scriptures and throw a little light on some of those, and then we'll minister to people. Is that all right? So let's have a look at these. Let's let them come up here. This particular one's written very small. No, there it is. Receiving healing from God. God always wants you healed and preferably healthy. God's nature is always for people to be well. So if you were to ask, is it the will of God? It's always the will of God to be well. Now, what happens then sometimes is people feel guilty if they're ill. Don't feel guilty if you're ill. Are you with me? Just don't do that. Why feel guilty? God's taken all the guilt off you. We just need to find a way to get back into health. Now, the best way to live is in health all the time. Healing is when we have, for whatever number of reasons, drifted out of perfect health. And there can be a lot of reasons, and they aren't always to do with you specifically. We want to get you back into a place of health. But you've got to start with this. God's will is for you to be 100% healthy. When Jesus died as your substitute, He carried your sins and your sicknesses. This is pretty basic teaching, and I don't have time to go into it in detail. And I wrote a whole lot of stuff out yesterday, and I'll probably put a little book into place, a booklet thing that'll help people. But it's very easy to show, and I'm going to show you a few scriptures. But you need to understand that. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't just carry your sins. He carried your sicknesses as well. So let's have a look. There you go. You are healed of your sicknesses as much as you are forgiven for all your mistakes. Sins just means you missed the mark. Were you forgiven by Jesus? Yeah. Then you were healed by Jesus as well. The two go hand in hand. Let's have a look at a couple of scriptures that establish that for you. Now, this is my version, and I went through a season a little over 3 years ago when I was very sick. And I did my study. Not that I'd been a minister for 20 years. And so it wasn't that I had never read it before. It's that in my current situation, I needed to get back to health. So I wrote all this out, put it on my wall. I've still got it printed out, filed away somewhere. But this is a slightly more in-depth study of Isaiah 54. Is this 1 Peter 2? Okay, let's have a look at 1 Peter 2. Have we got Isaiah 54 on a different slide as well? Okay, so go back. That one, that should be who himself bore. Okay, go back. By his stripes we are healed. Okay, that's 1 Peter 2:24. Have we got Isaiah 54 or not? Right, be near the beginning. Okay, let's have a look. Go again, back where you were. Boom. Okay. So surely he has borne my sicknesses, and the word there is disease in the original language. See that? Now, if you want, I can email this to you. I'll put it in a book. It's not hard to figure out, but it's what I do. The word there, koili, disease, external or internal, affliction, sadness, evil. He has borne. He has carried my sicknesses. That's what the original language says. And he's carried my pains. This is Isaiah 54. The Greek is makob. Sorry, the Hebrew is makob, and it's pain, physical and mental pain and sorrow. That's what the word says there. Isaiah 54. You can have a look. If you have a decent Bible with some references and cross-references, you'll see it all there. The chastisement is mukah, the discipline, the chastening or the correction for my peace, my shalom, my completeness, my safety, my soundness, my welfare, my health, my prosperity, my peace. The chastisement for all that was upon him, and by his stripes, chabura, by his bruises, stripe, wound, blow, mark or stroke on the skin, I am healed. And the Greek word, sorry, the Hebrew word healed is rapha. To heal, to make healthful, to sew together, to mend. And then 1 Peter 2:24 is the next one. And have we got that as well there? Flip over there. There it is. Who himself bore my sins in his own body on the tree, the sins of all were laid on Jesus, and he put them away, that I, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, see it? Can you see it? Two-thirds of the way down. Stripes is the Greek word is molops. Means bruise, wail, stripe, wound that trickles blood. Thayer is a very well-respected lexicon. I was healed. Iomai, to cure, to heal, to make whole. Curing, to free one of a disease. Make whole, to free one from errors and sins. So you can see that both in Isaiah 54, I can't spend a whole day on this. We could in a Bible college context, and we did it a few years ago, and we'll do it again if you want to. I'm happy to teach you anytime if you're sick and you want to get healed. I'm happy to teach you anytime, but we'll do what we can today. The point is that Isaiah prophesies and Peter confirms, Old Testament and New Testament, that when Jesus died, he didn't just die for your sins, he died for your sicknesses, your mental illnesses, your pains. As much as you were forgiven, you were healed. Say it with me, as much as I was forgiven, I was healed. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. So we need to establish that we have already been healed. So how do you get healed? I'm going to come to this verse in a minute. How do people get healed? Healing involves power from God. And there are two sides to you getting healed. One is your faith, and the other is the anointing on me. Or the anointing on whomever God has sent into your situation. Are you with me now? Because it's important that we understand this, because the other stuff is pretty basic stuff. But get it established in your spirit. Meditate on it. Print it up. Search it yourself. Get clear in your thinking that as much as you're forgiven, you're healed. And if you want to, as a Christian, you can walk around feeling guilty, which too many Christians do, for things that God doesn't even remember. He forgave them. He threw them into a sea of forgetfulness. And we walk around worried, nervous, condemned, guilty. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. When God's actually taken that off us. It's exactly the same with sickness. Why did Jesus bear your sins? So that you don't have to. Are you with me? He took them so that you don't have to. If he took them, why would you walk around as if you still have them? But you can if you want to. And plenty of Christians do. This is the value of correct biblical teaching, that it helps you understand what God has done for you. And we could, many verses we could talk about. Why would Jesus bear your sicknesses and pains and illnesses? Why would he do that? So that you don't have to. Say, so that I don't have to. If you want to, you can keep living, carrying sicknesses and pains. But you don't have to, because he already took them. Faith is an inward conviction that these things are true. And it's so deep and strong inside you that you shake yourself and you think, why on earth am I still in sickness? Of course I'm healed. Are you with me? There are two key aspects to you getting healed. One is your faith, and the other is the anointing on my life. And I can assure you I'm anointed today. But I'll talk to you a little bit about that in a moment. Your faith is a big part of it. You're believing. What a lot of people do, hear me well, what a lot of people do is they want to have faith, but they don't really have much faith. That's what a lot of people do, because they really want to get healed, especially if you're really sick. All of a sudden, when you're facing death, for instance, now, or you're in great pain, and it's really problematic for your life, now your interest in healing sparks, pretty understandable. It's much smarter to get strong faith for health and healing before that, which is why everyone here today, whether you're ill or not, needs to hear and understand what I'm saying. Because one of the ways the devil will try to hold you back is to keep you sick. You can do a lot less for God if you're lying on a bed than you can full of hit. Are you with me? And he just love to hold you down. Now let me throw this thought in. Peter, when he writes to the church, Paul, when he writes to the church, both make it clear that people are sick. Paul writes one time about a guy called, I think it was Epaphras. He said, you heard he was sick, and he was sick, nearly to death. And he was a servant of God. James wrote to the church, and he said, now, guys, church, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elder of the church. It's James chapter 5, I think. If there's any sick among you. So evidently there were sick among them. Are you with me? Sickness will attempt to get on your life. Don't feel bad about it. Learn how to beat it. One thing people often do is they start to feel guilty when they shouldn't feel guilty. God doesn't want you to feel guilty. God took your guilt away. And he carried your diseases away. What you need to do is find out how to access the power from God that fixes it. So your faith and God's power. God's power, anointing, power, they go together. Anointing, power, spirit. Those three words, if you're writing notes, always together in the Bible. Anointing, power, and spirit. So we're going to look at a minute in a verse, Acts 10:38, that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed... No. Yeah, well, that's there as well. There it is. See, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. See, that's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Acts 10:38, which says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe we could pop that up real quick, actually, because it's in our list there. Have a look at this. Next one. Yeah, that one. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Let's all read this out together. 1, 2, 3, go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppression comes from the devil. Healing comes from God. God does not oppress you. God never makes you sick, but sometimes sickness comes and then you have to find a way to get healed. And that's what we're here to do, help you get healed and stay healthy. How God anointed, see the word anointed? Jesus of Nazareth then with the Holy Spirit and with power. Those three words, anointed, Holy Spirit and power are always together in the Bible, in the New Testament. Because when the anointing of God is on somebody, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And where there is the anointing, there is power. Now, if you want to get healed, you need power. And sometimes in teaching about faith, people have missed that out. It's power that heals you. If you're sitting here with a blood disease, there needs to come power from God that changes the molecular structure, that forces things to be made whole, which is often why people feel warmth or heat, which is an impact or a demonstration of God's power fixing those molecular problems. If you've got a cancerous growth, you need power, and I'm saying this because this is how you need to see it. Power comes from heaven and just starts to dissolve that growth. So I've studied this for many years, and I can tell you all kinds of stories. I remember, was it some minister anyway, that was praying for a woman that had a cancerous growth on her face, and it was threatening her life, and it was as big as an orange. And so he laid hands on her and cursed that cancer, and then she kept on doing what she was doing, but she held on to her faith. She believed that at that point God's power had, she held on to faith. 10 days later, she's at home cleaning or doing whatever she's doing, and the whole cancer just fell off her face, and her whole skin was all new. And I could literally tell you hundreds of stories like that. If you look at our website, and we're looking for some website helpers to keep us as updated as we want to be, but if you look at our website, we've got a section in there of testimonies of dozens and dozens of people that have been healed in different ways. We've got a little pamphlet we did that's just got a few examples of people that have been dramatically healed through our church, through our ministry. And then we've got a church in Pakistan today. I spoke to Sebastian yesterday, and whose leader, Sebastian, who's now caring for anything from 40 to 60 to 80 people, depending, and growing in God, and we're helping them tremendously there. He is only in ministry. He's only alive because we prayed and power traveled across the country from Carrie and I on the telephone at this end into his body because he thought he was dying. His doctors had given him the wrong medicine and he had hepatitis C anyway. And now he's completely whole. And then there's another baby in the church that's completely whole that was also written off to die. And there's lots and lots of stories. What I'm saying is that God's in the healing business, and that it takes power to cause that cancer to die. It takes power to cause that back, those muscles in that back. Now, sometimes you need to cooperate. Sometimes you need to do exercise. Sometimes you need to adjust your diet if you want to cooperate with God. Are you with me? But in terms of dealing with an illness or a disease or a depression, sometimes it's a demon that needs to be cast out. Sometimes it's just something that's in your mind that literally needs just to be lifted off, and then it leaves. And I'm trying to give you as many examples because we're trying in the natural to solve, cure cancer, right? Doctors are trying to do that. And they've been doing it for decades, and they're finding slow, limited success, but some success. Are you with me? But it's still an enormous threat. Well, I'm talking to you about being a doctor in a different realm called the realm of the spirit. And in the same way that many expert minds for decades will study and try and solve natural problems, spiritual things are simple, but they're complicated, if I can say it that way. In other words, it doesn't require no effort, no intelligence. No, you've got to know what you're doing, and you can't just tick a box. It's not like take a pill, do this, and I'm better. You have to cooperate with the God of healing. And his ways, you can find out his ways, but there's a price to find out his ways. Are you with me? That's why I really want to, I try and get your attention when I worship. I try and encourage you to worship because I want you to access things from God. If you wanted to be an architect in this country, you'd have to study for 5 years, I think it is, and hard, and learn, and pay a lot of money, and pass all these exams, half of which you think is, I can't think how this could ever help. And you've got to, that's just to be an architect, which is a great thing to be, but I'm a minister. Okay, and I don't, and we don't have a Bible college exactly like that. We have theological seminaries or cemeteries, depending on how you look at it. And but a person can learn the things of the Spirit, but it takes time and application. Are you with me? And so I'm doing my best to get over what I can, but I want to encourage you to walk with God yourself and to hear from. He will speak to you, but we have to be intentional about our desire to receive from Him. How many understand what I'm saying? And so we have this Spirit and power. You need power. What you want to do, what you want to perceive, this is how you want to think about it. That God, if you've got illness of any kind, that God has provided power already to bring me back to health. Are you with me? That's how you want to look at it. God's already provided power. And the thing that brings that power is a combination of your faith and the anointing of God. And almost always, biblically, that comes through a ministry of the laying on of hands. That's important to understand that. So your faith, yeah, if we can turn that off, that'd be great. Is it, where is that? Someone's phone? It's all right, darling. Never mind. It's okay. Done now. Okay. No worries. So your faith is your part. Your faith is believing, and it acts like a magnet that pulls the power of God. Your faith is measurable. As you sit there today, you've got a certain amount of faith. Jesus spoke about it. He said some had great faith, and some had low faith. He said in one place, remember in Mark chapter 6, he said he was with people, and he said he could do, their faith was so little that he could do very few miracles. Mark chapter 6. People's faith small, very few miracles. But isn't he Jesus? Can't Jesus like do whatever miracle he wants to do? Not according to Mark 6. Not in terms of your life. You'd think Jesus was... See, Jesus, in certain contexts, Jesus will do what he wants to do. But in terms of you receiving from Jesus, you've got a part to play. Jesus could come into your house, open the door, walk into your room, and tell you, I know you've got this kind of cancer or this kind of blood disease, and you've had it for this long. And if you didn't believe that that was him and that he was there to heal you, he could walk out and you'd just stay just as sick as you were. Because you have a part to play in your healing. You've got to activate as much faith as you can. Now, your faith is measurable. Some have more faith than others. God's not mad about you. If your faith isn't very high, he's not angry at you. He'll just encourage you to get more. And we in the West, so-called first world countries, tend on the whole to have less faith because we've learnt to trust in all this other stuff, especially our thinking. And then we push onto our culture, teachings, readings, education, newspapers, articles, all of which, virtually all of which, diminish faith. Tell you that it probably won't happen. Tell you the economy is going to do this. Tell you that 35% of people are going to die of this. Tell you that over 65, your chances of getting Alzheimer's are this. Tell you all those things. And most Christians I know, if we're earnest, they get nervous about that. They say, I hope I don't get Alzheimer's. Well, good. Good that you hope you don't get there, but that's not much faith. Are you with me? God's not mad at you. I'm just saying what you need to do is stir up as much faith as you can and keep building your faith. Faith is like a tree on the inside of you. How many still with me? I'm saying as much as I can before I minister to people, because the higher I can get your faith, the better I can help you. Faith is like a tree, and the seeds you hear grow the tree that's inside you. And so you've got to keep hearing the seeds of God's will. Today, your faith went up for your healing just by hearing that Jesus actually died for your sicknesses as well as your sins. And the more you receive that, the more your faith goes up. It's literally like a seed. And some people say, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not sure about that. Yeah, but if that were true, why did Aunt Mary die? No, 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 no. And all those things are not receiving, and the seed can't take root. But when you receive and you say, well, if God said so, then it must be true. Yeah, well, I know about Aunt Mary, and I know about this, and I... But anyway, things happen. I don't understand everything. But what I do know is that what God said in His Word is true. So I'm going to open my heart to that. That's how you increase your faith. Are you with me? Now, let's get to this other bit. Let's flip back to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus' first message. His first message. You'd think that his first message would be, repent from your sins and believe in me and be saved, wouldn't you? But it wasn't. His first message was, the Spirit of God's on me. He's anointed me to do certain things. We have tended to not either downplay or not understand the importance of the anointing of God on people that he sends. Are you with me? And we have to get past that. Now, I understand the problem. I'm sent to the UK. God had me born of Dutch parents, brought up in Australia, but I'm sent here. This is where I want to be. This is where I'm called. Whether you like it or not, God sent me to England. Hallelujah. And I love the English people. I get frustrated at them at times. When they commentate on the football, I get annoyed. I think you could help your team win a lot more if you just looked at it differently. But I love them. And God spoke to me before I came here and told me how much he loved these people and how precious they were to him. Are you with me? But because I've come from a different nation and because I'm sent from God and I have a perspective that way, I see things that'll help people. And I see things in our thinking and in our culture that can either help us or hinder us from receiving from God. What you've got to understand is that nobody got anything from Jesus unless they believed he was anointed. Did you get that? Nobody got anything. There were a lot of people in the Bible that never got healed by Jesus. Hundreds, thousands. More people were not healed than healed. Lots of people. Jesus walked past and they were sick when he turned up and he left and they were still sick. Why? Because when he ministered to people, he didn't minister as the Son of God coming that I can do anything. He came as a servant of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that power or that anointing only flows when you believe that that anointing is there. Are you with me? So Jesus says, first message, the Spirit of God is on me. Take it or leave it. Like it or lump it. That's the way it is. Not everyone liked it. Some people accepted it, some people didn't. It's going to be the same for you in regard to me and indeed to anyone else that God sends as a minister to your life. I'm not the only minister in the world, but I am the most significant minister in your lives. And that's important to understand. See, when Jesus was in Mark 6 and he had the anointing on him to heal people, but he couldn't hardly heal anybody because there was no magnetic draw from them pulling on that power. Faith. The Bible says they didn't have much faith. And then it gives you a big clue as to why they didn't have much faith. It says that they thought, but isn't this Jesus, the carpenter's son, the brother of Joseph and all his sisters? And they thought about him in the natural sense. And they thought, well, how can that be the guy that's anointed by God? And that was unbelief, and that's why they didn't get anything. So, and Paul talks exactly the same way to the church, especially the Corinthians, and he says, you guys have got to learn to see things after the spiritual and not after the natural. See, it doesn't matter whether I speak with an Australian accent or what shape my hair is or the fact that I have these Larry yellow shoes or the fact that I'm wearing an And Holiness top made by a non-holiness company, but it just got holified when I put it on, amen. None of that matters. All that really matters is, did God send this person? Has he anointed him? Are you with me? Now, the reason we get stuck in the UK often is because we see that as arrogant. We think if someone comes and says, I'm anointed to do something for you, the default in our culture is, really? You really think you're somebody, don't you? How do I know that? Because I grew up in Australia and we're exactly the same. I think we caught it from you. Most of Australia is full of English, despite all the other, our roots are all very British. And I understand that mindset. But you have to get past that in order to receive. Now, stay with me, it's very important now. You also have people at the other end. Different cultures have different problems. I'm sent to the UK to help you, the UK and the people of the UK. Other cultures will very quickly believe that God, oh yes, and we get the he's the man culture. Are you with me? We have the he's probably not the man culture. If he thinks he's the man, he definitely isn't the man culture. And you think, well, if Jesus turned up, then I'd believe him. Well, Jesus ain't turning up except in people like me. Amen? He's sent people. I'm not the only one, but I'm one of them. And if you'll accept that, then you can receive the power that the God who sent me put on me, and you can receive power that'll fix your sicknesses. Are you with me? That's how it flows. Now, when you're in a culture that's, well, he's the man, then the power flows much more quickly because they all believe he's the man. The problem, the potential problem with that culture is he's the man does get arrogant. And it becomes problematic, and it's like he's the man and we're all nobody. And that's not healthy, because my job, and if you listen to me preach over the months and the years, you'll find this, my job is to lift other people into what God has got for them. That's part of my calling. And I try and be very relational, deliberately, to do that. But there's another side of it as well, you see, and we have to watch the balance, because if we balance and lean the other way, say, well, he's probably not the man, he's not, well, you're not going to get anything. Because God sends people. Now, biblically, let me finish on this. Biblically, let's quickly do Mark chapter 5. We're going to finish in 5 minutes. Is that all right? Because I can tell some of us are getting a little hot in the weather and whatever. But I want to get you healed. Everyone say, let's get healed. Let's read this. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She'd suffered a great deal from many doctors. You might know this story. And over the years, she'd spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd gotten no better. That's a very bad situation to be in. In fact, she'd gotten worse. She'd heard about Jesus, so she came up through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, or more accurately, she said within herself, if I can touch his robe, I'll be healed. See, that's the key. If it had been Paul the Apostle, it would be exactly the same. If it would be because Paul the Apostle was anointed by Jesus, the same Jesus that anointed me. Same Jesus that anointed a whole bunch of other people, known and unknown, it doesn't matter. What you need to figure out is who is Jesus anointed. So it could be Paul. If you will come and say, if I'll just touch their garment, I'll be healed. Some people think, well, that was Jesus. Not in ministry, it wasn't. It was Jesus. What I mean is that he didn't minister as the Son of God. He ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. You say, can you prove that? Yes. If he did minister as the Son of God, then he couldn't have said, and you will go and do the same works that I do, and greater works will you do because you believe in. You couldn't say that. How could you do greater works than the Son of God if he was doing it as the Son of God? You're not the Son of God in that sense. But he wasn't doing it as the Son of God. He was doing it as a man that the Holy Spirit had anointed, which is why he said, and you're supposed to go and do the same things. Why? Because I'm sending you. And the same rules that apply to receiving from Jesus apply to receiving from anybody else. You've got to believe that they're anointed. This woman believed, I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Let's continue. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel. Everyone say feel. She could feel in her body that she'd been healed of that terrible condition. Next, Jesus realized at once that healing power, everyone say healing power, had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? And his disciples said, look at this crowd pressing around you. In other words, there are people touching you all the time. You're in a crowd. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over. What a great story. I want everybody to be able to sing that story. But it doesn't happen unless you come believing that there's an anointing on that person to bring healing to your body. Are you with me? That's what she believed. Who touched my robe? He felt power go out of him. The power was on him, and there's dozens of people touching him, and none of them are getting any power. The only one that got the power was her. So there's two things. You've got to have the power on you. That's the anointing. You've got to believe that you're going to receive that power. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So let's stand and pray. Ones sorted. That'll be great. All right. How many are ready to receive their healing? Yeah. Amen? Amen? You're ready to receive your healing. Good. And Jesus has already healed you legally. So it's simply a matter of us laying hands on you and imparting the power to travel through your body and to affect the healing and a cure in whatever your situation is. Sometimes I'll ask you what the situation is. Sometimes I won't, because it's really not that important. When that woman came, he just felt the power go out of him. He had no idea what her situation was. So I want you to come, all of those that are ready to be healed right now. You say, I've come to be healed. I'd like to be healed. Whatever your condition, whatever your situation, come and use the best faith that you can. Believe that God is here and wants you healed. And believe that power is going to flow out of me from God, his glory, but using me through you, into you, to bring you healed. How many are ready to get healed? I want you to come to the front right now and receive your healing. And Owen, if you'll help me, we'll just move that little thing. That's right. That's cool. If you're coming, you're coming for one reason, folks, and that's to get healed. To get healed. That's the only reason. Just come as far forward as you can just because of the space behind you. Everybody come. If you're not coming, that's awesome. That's cool. I don't mind. But stay with me. We're just going to do this fairly quickly. But stay with me. If you're not coming, that's fine. But stay with the service. Help these people. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. This is your family up here with illness. So join your faith with us. Are you with me? Let's just form one line. Let's get this right here. So if we just have one line and then we'll bring the other people back and we'll bring them forward in a minute. Yeah? Maybe move a few chairs. You're ready to be healed. Are you ready to be healed? Yes. Don't doubt. Don't struggle. Don't worry. We'll just, organize it a little bit. People out there that are with me, stay with me. Just reach out your hands for these people and believe. Just say, Father, let healing power flow. This is not for my glory. This is for God's glory. This is not real. I'm just a vessel. I'm very happy to be a vessel, but it's God. It's God that heals people. So believe. Receive. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm receiving right now. Thank you, Father. I'm receiving right now. Healing flows through my body right now. Just say those things. Healing flows through my body right now. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. There it is. There's an anointing. Just receive it. Healing flows through my body. Yep, just help me there. Healing flows through my body. See, it's faith that puts a draw on the power of God. Amen. Healing flows. Say with me, all you people at the front, just lose yourself in the presence of God. Healing flows, that's it, through my body right now. That's how it works. Thank you. Healing flows. Thank you, Lord. That's right. The power of God flowing through these lives right now. Thank you. That's it. Keep believing. Reach out in your heart, grasp it. Just take it. Doubt your doubts and just accept that you're healed. In all probability, you're going to get healed. That's just probably what will happen. Because why wouldn't it? It's what God wants. It's what I want. It's what we're here for. It's why you came forward. Amen. That's it. Keep your faith switched on. Thank you, Lord. Receive it. Receive. Receive healing right now in Jesus' name. That's it. And just say, if I say receive it, you say yes, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Power flows. Power flows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. These beautiful people right here, I'm just going to put this down because it'll be easier if I do it that way.